Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's time now for Light for the Pathway with W.A. Thompson.
And once again, we greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to Him for this time that we have to visit with you on the program of Light for the Pathway. Indeed, the Scriptures given to us of the Lord lets us know what is in this life, what's beyond this life, how things were in the past, where we came from, where we're going, where the road on which you travel will come out. This is God's book, the Bible. And we do not know what's on the other side of this life other than what the Lord tells us in His Word. Now, there is a passage in the Scriptures in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 28, when Saul, out of fellowship with the Lord, in desperation and about to die in battle, being surrounded by his enemies, knows that he's a defeated man. He wants to hear from God, and so he does wrong to try to get a message from the Lord, but the Lord still will not speak to him. And so in this passage, there are people who we can identify with the sorrows, the hurt, the loss of a loved one. Those of us who've had loved ones close to us, taken from us, we'd love to talk with them again, to be with them again. But the Lord has closed that door, and we cannot get to them. We cannot be brought back. We can't bring them back, and we can't go to where they are, other than to join them in that place to where the people of the Lord gather. And those who are outside of Christ, if they should leave this life without the Lord, will certainly not want their unsaved friends to go to that other place. But we can go to the Scriptures and know that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, as the Scriptures give to us and let us know that you cannot talk to those who are on the other side. And there are charlatans, crooked people, thieves, and robbers who will tell you that they can communicate with people who've passed from this life to the next. I was thinking about that today and wondering, why would one who is now in the presence of the Lord want to be looking back into this world of sin and looking on us? Why would they want to do that? There in the presence of the Lord, it would be misery for them to see if we are here in the temptation, looking at things that are not pleasing to the Lord, and they're there in heaven, or there are unsaved loved ones, they're watching. That would be a miserable thing, because those in heaven know things as they really are. They know the fullness of things. Those who are in hell cannot cross the gulf to escape. And so we have to come to this understanding that the Lord does all things right and good. He's the perfect God. He's the faithful God, the very present help. And we look unto Him. We trust in His Word and what He has done. He tells us that those who are in Christ, who die and leave this life, are in the presence of the Lord, going to be with Him. Not floating around somewhere in some outer space. No, that's not the case. We go from this life into the very presence of the Lord, and there is no chance of us losing our way to be with the Lord. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. We're indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. So He's not going to abandon us and leave us as orphans when it comes time to depart this life. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that these words will comfort someone today, someone whose heart is heavy because a loved one has been taken. We pray that they may rest in this truth that the Lord, our God, does all things right. He is a perfect God, and He knows, and He will give us help and strength. For Jesus' sake, amen. I ask you to turn again in your Bible, please, to the book of Genesis, chapter 18. We have been looking at how that the Lord had given to Abraham some inside information on what the Lord was about to do. As we mentioned earlier in the devotional thought, was that the Lord knows the beginning and the end. He knows how things are going to turn out. He knows how things really are. And he tells Abraham, Moses being the author of the book, writing down this record, he says, I know Abraham, for I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way that I shall, that he gives to him, keep the way of the Lord. And that was what Abraham was intending to do. And the Lord is about to bring destruction upon Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, why is it of concern that the Lord should tell Abraham that he is going to destroy this city? Well, Abraham has a relative there. Now, we pray many times, we ask the Lord to do something for Jesus' sake. Do you understand what that means? Do you understand that when you're asking the Lord to do something for his name's sake, this is what the Lord would do? When you pray a prayer and you ask the Lord to answer that prayer, and you are praying in Jesus' name, you're praying the prayer in a way with the same heart, the best you know how, and the right motives, the best you know how, as you believe the Lord himself would pray. And you're asking this so that the Lord will help, because his name is at stake. I think it was recently that we talked about this in Isaiah 43, in which the Lord said that he would blot out sins for his own name's sake. It was not that the Lord is saying, I'm going to blot out sin because you are such a good child, such a goodly child. No, it's the Lord blotting out sin because he is good and we're in need of his grace. We do not even know that we're in need of his grace until he does impart to us grace and righteousness and truth, until he does give to us light. Apart from him, we wander around destitute. We are depraved creatures needing the Lord to guide and to direct and to work in our lives. We need the salvation that only the Lord gives. And so the Lord has worked this, and he will work because of his name's sake. He's good. And when the Lord brings us to a place to where there is a great trial and much difficulty, our hearts are heavy and we're grieved, then the Lord works for his name's sake, his children. You see, a mother will be concerned about how her children appear in public. Now, when you see a child that's dirty and unkept, and there is one who says that she's the mother of the child, do the people looking on say, now, that child knows better? Or do they say, why does that mother let that child do that? Well, it's the latter of the two. It's the concern saying the mother has failed to provide and to help the child, to train the child, or a father. Why does that man let his family live like that? Why doesn't he do better? Well, because they're looking at the adult. And the Lord has a name, and his name is righteous and holy and is to be lifted up above all names. And so he works because his name is at stake. His name is before men, before this world. I think we talked about this also in the book of Daniel, chapter 9. The Lord said he would let the temple be desolate for his name's sake. Now, what does he mean by that? Well, he is going to let the place be destroyed because those who know him to be a holy God would think that he is condoning sin if he did not bring judgment upon those who have named his name. Now, here I will take the liberty also to speak this matter, that if you are a Christian and you go forth naming the name of Christ and you live in open sin, and you are bringing shame and reproach to the name of the Lord, he will bring chastisement upon you. The Lord will bring a spanking to you. He will deal with you in your sin and your rebellion to him. You think that you are going to bring shame and reproach to the name of the holy God of heaven? No such thing, friends. The God of heaven hates sin, and he wants his truth to be sent out in the truth, in the light, that God is holy. And for his name's sake, he will shorten our stay in this life if we bring shame and reproach to his name. We can bring it to for a little while, but you cannot continue to bring shame and reproach to the name of the Lord. He will remove you from this world. He won't kick you out of his family, but he'll remove you from this world. And the Lord has a way of dealing with a stubborn, rebellious child. He has a way of dealing with those. When men and women feel like, I'll do something, this will be done my way. And there are those who find themselves becoming bitter because of the way the Lord has worked. You can't hold your breath longer than the Lord can wait to do his plan, to effect his plan. You can't say, well, I'm not going to eat until I get my way. Well, you can't outlast the Lord. Surrender to him. He would have you to live for him. He wants to bless. But as it was with Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot was in that city, and the Lord was going to tell Abraham what he was going to do. He was concerned about Abraham, and so he did not hold it back. He did not hide the information from Abraham. And so Abraham hears of this matter about the Lord getting ready to destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, the other three that were there. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is grievous, I will go down and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me. And if not, I will know. Also, he says, and the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom. They were going to that city to examine the city. They knew what it was there, but they were going. The Lord, as we mentioned on the close of the last program, the Lord does judge fairly. He will not be swayed by gifts or promises. He is a merciful judge, but he's a righteous judge. And Abraham asked this in verse 23. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? He knew God was a righteous judge. Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? He knew the Lord was willing to show mercy. And so he continues to prevail upon the Lord for the Lord's mercy. And the Lord continued to show mercy, and Abraham stopped asking. I think he felt like he'd asked the Lord for too much, but God is a merciful God. Heavenly Father, we do ask for thy blessings today upon thy people, upon this message. Help us again, I ask, in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. I invite you to join us again for another program of Light for the Pathway. I'm Willie Thompson in Greenville, South Carolina at 920 Wade Hampton Boulevard. Zip code 29609.